Lord, thank you for this day. Each day is a gift from you. Each day. Each day we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And each day for us has you in it. Lord, we need you this morning. As we face our struggles, as we face our disappointments, as we face our challenges, Lord. Lord, we praise you for them. Because you're at work in us. We praise you that we can come before you and lift our prayers up to you and you hear. You hear, you see, you know, you feel what we're going through. Lord, we love you. I ask that you be here with us today. I ask, Lord, that you'd open up your word for us, that you'd open our hearts to receive everything you have for us. Touch every life here, Lord. Touch every heart here. We all have needs. We need you. We all need healing. I don't believe there's a person in this room that doesn't need healing. Meet our needs today, Lord, please. Open up heaven for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Prayer. What would we do without prayer? I'm going to be talking about prayer this morning. Actually, if you were here earlier, you know that our opening scripture was the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. After this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. After this manner, pray ye. There's a pattern there. That's what he means. Does it mean that we have to repeat this prayer word for word? We do. I say this prayer every night. But I always make sure that it's not just words that I speak. It's not just mechanical. It comes from my heart. I like to look at each word. And I like to feel the meaning in me as I pray it. We see this also in Luke. It's a condensed version. It's a little bit different in one aspect. It says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Romans 8:28 says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And I mentioned about repeating it over and over. Jesus spoke about vain repetitions, about repeating it mechanically. You know, this prayer isn't a magical charm. We're not to use it superstitiously. Is this prayer only for Jewish people? No, it isn't. Who's it addressed to? Who's he talking to? All who believe. The pronouns are plural. It's appropriate and encouraged for group prayer. But it's also intended as a prayer for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're all in this together. The things we do and the things we say affect each other, don't they? Our Father, it starts out. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." God is our Father. I spent 10 years ministering in the jail. Some of you know that, because I mentioned it from time to time. And one of the things I noticed was that the people in the jail had a hard time relating to that name, Father, as it applies to God. Because most of them didn't have a very good relationship with their father. Fathers are supposed to be like what God is. He's a perfect example of a father. That's what a father should be. God is our Father. He's our Father first by creation. Malachi 2:10, "Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us?" He's also our Father by covenant relationship between the Father and the Son. And because of our relationship with the Son. Because God is His Father, He is ours. John 20:17, "Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." He's also our Father by regeneration. When we are born again, we're made partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." You've heard the expression, like father, like son? That's what we're supposed to be. And with His presence in our lives, He guides us into that, doesn't He? He makes the changes in us. Sometimes it's slow. For some of us, it's very slow. But He continues to work. "And He that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the end." He doesn't leave something unfinished. Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." In the Old Testament, in times of trouble, His people pleaded this relationship to God. Isaiah 64:6-8, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of your hand." Our Father. As I said before, we're all in this together. "Our Father which art in heaven." He is in heaven. God is everywhere, but His throne, the seat of His government, is in heaven. When we pray, whether we look up or look down or however we do, we lift our hearts up to Him, don't we? We lift our loved ones up to Him. We lift our petitions up. He is high above us, and yet He came down to our level, didn't He? There's a song about that. I love that song. "He came down to our level when we couldn't go up to his. Hallowed be thy name. You notice something about that? It doesn't say hallowed is your name. It says hallowed be your name. It's a petition. It's a prayerful request. May your name be hallowed in the world and in my life. And the last part of that, I think, should be most important to us, shouldn't it? May he be hallowed in my life. Holy, consecrated, venerated, sanctified. Hallowed be thy name. Thy name. God's kind of protective of his name, isn't he? He even put something about it in the Ten Commandments. Take not my holy name in vain. That means don't make it empty. Don't make it meaningless. Just recognize the power in that name and the significance of that name. It's not just how we refer to him. It's everything he is. Psalm 20, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Proverbs 18, 10, his name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. His authority, his control, his government. In our world, but also in our lives. When he came to the earth and walked the earth as a man, people wanted him to set up his throne then. But he had to do something else first. He had to set up his throne in our hearts. Then he will set up his throne in the earth. Thy kingdom come is admitting that we have been, at one time or other, under the dominion of sin and of Satan. It's repenting and submitting to God's control and God's will. His will. The next line in the prayer says, thy will be done. Jesus prayed this. That kind of tells me that we should do it too. In fact, it tells us to right here. We had a friend many years ago in Oregon. We called her Joyful Judy. She was an evangelist. But she was one of those that kind of preached name it and claim it. You know, whatever I want, God's going to give it to me. I remember praying, she asked me to pray for her one time, and I prayed for her, and at the end of the prayer I said, your will be done. She got mad. She's an evangelist. You'd think that she'd, anyway, she has a different take on it, I guess. But she got mad. You just ruined the whole thing. No, I want his will to be done. If it isn't his will, why would we want it? I had a 66 Ford pickup that I loved. I bought that truck, had to make payments on it to a guy I worked with, and finally paid it off and got the truck and one of the first things that happened is the engine went out. So I had to put an engine in. And I did. And I put nice wheels on it and nice tires and fixed it up. I even cut out and put a carpeting in the cab. Beautiful truck. And I parked it in my driveway. I had it backed up there, and I was standing there one day looking at it. Admiring it out the window. You know, I could look across my lawn. I had a detached garage and driveway. And God spoke to me. He said, I want you to give away your truck, Wayne. He even used my name. I want you to give away your truck, Wayne. What do you do? Do you think for a minute I'm going to drive a truck that God doesn't want me to have? I gave it away. Fortunately, my son needed a truck, so I gave it to him. And not too long after that, I won a drawing at a car dealer, and I think it was an 85 Camaro. Bright red, T-top. Beautiful car. I traded it for a truck. Who are we to dictate to God what his will should be? Peter tried that. Actually, he did it a couple times. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Or in other words, no, Lord. How can you say no and Lord in the same sentence? You lose the meaning of one of those words, right? Sometimes we forget who's Lord. His will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to bring heaven down to here, aren't we? We're supposed to pray it down, and by our actions and everything we do and everywhere we go and by obeying his will, that brings heaven down to here. Not just by our actions, but also in our thoughts and in our minds. We have to live in such a way. We should want to live in that way. This prayer has seven petitions. First one is, give us this day our daily bread. This isn't just talking about physical bread. And it's not just about food. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to John chapter 6, Jesus is the bread of life sent down from heaven. Says, give us this day. Each day is this day. Each moment is now. God is a God of now. Now faith is. When is faith? Now. No matter when that might be, it's now. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as they did in the wilderness. Because of that, they got to go for a long walk. 40 years. And forgive us our debts. Each sin is a debt to God. How is it a debt to God? Jesus paid for that sin on the cross. We owe him. Some translations say, forgive us our trespasses. What is a trespasser? That's to be in a place that's unlawful for you to be there. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they were trespassing. They were where they shouldn't have been. They were also stealing. It wasn't theirs, was it? It was God's. Just like that man, stole from the things they got from Jericho. And the whole tribe, all of them had to suffer the consequences of that. They suffered defeat the next time they went. Not an eye, but a Jericho. Forgive us. He said, give us this day. And then he says, forgive us. The two go together, don't they? How can we enjoy God's blessing if we're under the weight of unforgiven sins? It's wonderful that God is a giver, but it's even more wonderful that he's a forgiver. We can have a full stomach and still go to hell, can't we? As we forgive those that trespass against us. If we're not forgiving those, the others, as he forgives us, we're not showing very much thankfulness for our forgiveness, are we? We're not placing very much value on his forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation. You notice it says us. Grace teaches us that we are to be concerned for our brothers and sisters as we are for ourselves. So what's our part? Ephesians 4:27 says not to give place to the devil. We are to avoid the door to temptation. It'd be true to say we're to avoid temptation, but the door to temptation, that's where it starts. A lot of times that door is in our thoughts, isn't it? We're supposed to take every thought captive. Avoid the door to temptation. Avoid situations, avoid places, avoid people. Any place that you might stumble. Any place that you might fall into the enemy's trap. Don't give place to the devil. You know, Jesus said that the prince of this world is coming, but he has no place, no part in me. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? We give him opportunities. We open those doors. But deliver us from evil, or literally deliver us from the evil one. You know, we're not to pray to be exempted from temptations, but from the judgment of them. John 17:15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Can God keep us from the evil one? From doing horrible things? From being horrible people? One of the things I learned pretty fast, one of the first lessons I learned as I was going into the jail, was that it could just as easily be me in there. What's the difference? The grace of God. There but for the grace of God go you or I. We are all capable of anything. Anything. It just changed just a few little circumstances in our life. A few things. And that could be us. We see the work of each member of the Godhead at work here in this prayer. Who gives us our daily bread? Jesus told the people, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father did. Who meditates and offered himself as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins? You know, you can't take something like that any more seriously than going to the cross for it, can you? Who leads us and seals us to protect us from the evil one? Of course, our precious Holy Spirit. We don't give him enough notice, do we? He's every bit as much God as the other two. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. the kingdom. That's talking about his authority, his right to do what he does. The power, that talks about his ability, the means he uses, and the glory. That's his motivation. I heard someone say once that God likes to show off. I think it was Linda said that. Does he like to show off? Yeah. He wants to show off so that we'll know exactly who he is and what he is and what he's capable of and what he can do. That's his glory. That's how he reveals himself to us. It's a lot more than that, but for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. We see the clauses of this prayer throughout the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 29:11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For how long? Forever. Forever. You know, this world doesn't last very long. Our life here doesn't last very long, does it? But in what should be everybody's favorite song, Amazing Grace, it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I remember when I worked at the mill, I'd get so much vacation. If you took a week vacation, you know, you start, yeah, wow, 9 days. 9 days. But I always found myself counting those days, counting down. Got 8, 7. And you get to Saturday, and you think, all I have is a lousy weekend. But when we get to heaven, after 10,000 years, it's still going to be day one. We'll be counting down our days there, will we? You know, the opposite is true too. When the people that don't go to heaven go someplace else, after 10,000 years, how much time do they have left? I don't believe in annihilation. I don't. I'm not gonna lessen it any more than it is. Annihilation, that almost seems like, well, it's this easy way out. No. I believe it lasts forever. When they've been there 10,000 years, dark, gloomy. Anyway. But they have no less days either. And for how long? Forever. Aren't you glad you're saved? If you're not, you should be. Come see me. It's that simple. Just come talk to me and we'll get that taken care of. We had a man here in this congregation that just a few days ago just received the Lord. Pray for the baby Christian. That's all you have to say. God knows who it is. That God keeps him. And how does this prayer end? It ends with the word amen, or amen, or in Hebrew, amen, or however you want to say it. God understands it. Amen. It expresses both our desire and our faith. There's two meanings to amen. Make it so, and it will be so. That's why you hear some people sometimes say amen and amen at the end of a prayer. I like to do that. God is faithful. God hears us. And he's faithful. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Lord, we can go on and on and on. And may we always be going on and on and on, thanking you for everything. Lord, I pray for your presence to be with everybody in here. I pray, Lord, that your glory will be revealed to us all, and you will show us what you're capable of, and I believe you will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago, you went to a cross to save a wretched sinner like me. And if I was the only one that ever lived, you still would have gone to the cross. And everybody here can make that same statement. Thank you, Lord, that it is a personal salvation. Thank you. Lord, be with your people today. May everything we do bring glory to your name. And keep us safe till we assemble together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service. Tonight, Charles Stanley.